a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me, who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen. You're a child of God. You're free. Let's exult in that freedom today.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. One like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then none could be ever stop us. If our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
There's a verse that says, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And that's what that song's talking about. God is greater. God is stronger. God is healer. He's awesome in power. And he lives in us. Amen.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
I surrender.
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, he is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
And let the whole world see, we're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
You may be seated. At this time, we will dismiss the children for Sunday school. For ages 3 up to grade 6, you can meet your teachers at the back. We'll pray for you before you go. And if anybody needs the nursery, you could head to the nursery. Let's pray for our kids. Father, I thank you that we have the privilege of sharing your love with everybody, young and old. It doesn't matter the age. Anybody can come into your family. And we pray for our children as they go next door now to have their time together. I ask that you would help their ears to be open, their hearts to be open to hear from you, that they can receive the message of the gospel in their lives too. And for the teachers, I pray that you will give them wisdom and patience and creativity, and that we'll see our children grow to become mighty forces in the kingdom of God. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, children, you can head to the back. One thing we've been hearing a lot of lately has been how important it is the way we live our lives here. That someday we are going to stand before our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, and we're going to give account for the deeds that we have done. And I often think of that Sunday school song, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, your hands, what you do, or mouth, what you say." And so when I was kind of thinking of that as I chose the next song, it says, "Take my life and let it be." And it kind of goes through all of us to take everything I have and let it be surrendered to you and be used only for you. And so I ask that you make this kind of a prayer of surrender to God today. Please stand with us as we sing, "Take my life and let it be."
And let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them
And Father, we present ourselves before you this morning and ask that you would take all of us and make us wholly thine. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Into a time of prayer and of offering. So if you have an offering, there's a plate at the back. Don't feel obligated to give if you're a newcomer or new here. And we've got a few things to pray about, so I just ask you to bow your heads and join me as we pray. Father, we thank you for that chance to worship you with our hearts, God. And we thank you that we can come together and feel stronger as we join in louder volume and more voices to praise you and to see each other praising you. It's just encouraging, God. So we thank you that you're such an amazing God. You're such a grand God, and our vision of you needs to be one that sees how grand and how beautiful and how powerful and how wonderful you are, God. So we don't just get stuck in legalistic things and in serving you, but we also see how great a God it is that we serve, and that keeps propelling us and keeps helping us feel that the burden is light. God, in this church, we pray for those who are sick, those who have had surgeries. Pray for Tom, Lord, who's been in the hospital, for those who are feeling just pain and feeling heartache, God. We just ask that you would just give them a special dose of your grace, God, and that we would be able to encourage those around us who aren't feeling so well. For those in hospital, God, just please bring healing to them or bring peace to them. And just thank you, God, that for those of us who are feeling just really great, that for our health, God, we just praise you for that. God, we just also pray for the church decisions and the new staff member we talked about at AGM, and we just ask, God, that you'd be giving the elders and pastor wisdom as they discuss and deliberate and make plans. Thank you so much for those that are willing to spend the time in meetings and in discussions, and we just ask that you would bless them. Thank you as well for some of the new people we've seen in the church and up front as well, leading worship, helping us. It's just exciting, God, to see our skills developing, to see people learning new things. And so keep teaching us, God, new things. As we turn to Revelation, as we turn to important message to a church, it's a good message for us too. We ask that Pastor Mesh would... you just bless him with those words that he usually comes up with, but just bless him again with those great combination of words to encourage us, to challenge us, and to teach us about who you are and how much you love us and what you'd like us to do in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, James, and the worship team. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to those online as well. As mentioned, we've been going through the seven churches of Revelation, and today's our last Sunday on this, but next week we'll be doing a wrap-up on the churches we've gone through. So if you haven't listened to these online, I encourage you to do that. Just get caught up as well. Just some good teaching and in terms of Scripture, and some really encouraging things, but also some challenging things as well as we have walked through this together. So having said that, so we are in Revelation 3 today, verses 14 to 22. The verses will be on the screen. If your Bible's with you or your device, you can turn there as well. So let's just read this here. To the church in Laodicea, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and slave to put on your eyes so you can see. To those who I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice, open the door. I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my right throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lots to dig into today, and we're going to be able to do that this morning, and we're going to be going through some things quickly, but I encourage you to, if you're able to read this later on your own as well, that would be, it's always good to do that and reflect. Now, this church we're looking at this morning is an important, wealthy city. It had a significant Jewish population as well. And just like most of the cities we've looked at, a lot of the focus was on Caesar worship. And this particular church, Laodicea, in this community, they were actually worshiping a healing god, which we've mentioned there before as well, and to know that. So there's idol worship going on. We've seen that as a theme in the churches we've looked at. This particular city was known for a commercial center. It had great wealth as well. It exported things all over the world. And the main water supply came from an aqueduct, like a place that, not far away, but 6 miles away from the actual city itself. It was a spring. And the spring provided water for the city itself. And the place was called Hierapolis. And that's where the spring was located. And when the spring, the water would come, it actually would arrive lukewarm when it arrived to its final destination. And again, I've mentioned this before, how often God will take things in the scripture and tie things together. And we'll dive more into that as we get more into the scripture here. So just keep that in mind about this hot spring that was located not far from this particular city. So, and this church that Jesus is talking about as well. So Jesus describes himself to this church. And he says that this in the verses here, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. So the theme we've also seen in these letters to the seven churches, we've seen this idea and this focus for us that we would be focusing on Jesus, that he is faithful, that he is true, and that he would be our guide and our witness in the things that we are doing in our lives. These things about this Amen. And Amen essentially means so be it. And so when you're saying Amen to something, you're essentially saying so be it. And that's what it actually means. So it's interesting when you think about that. And 2 Corinthians says this as well. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. And this is talking also that, you know, God's creation, that the beginning of creation, Jesus was there. He was a part of the creation story. And it's exciting to know that he was part of that. And the Bible tells us this in Colossians 1, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So that's exciting to know, right? Like, all things are held together by Jesus. And we see that in this story, in this letter, that's a reminder as well. And the Apostle John also talks about the word that came to life. And that word is Jesus. And this is what it says in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So good things to know, that we understand who the Creator is, and a reminder that it's an amen to Jesus as well. Let's continue on. It says in verse 15, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Now this rebuke is essentially is what it is. It has a special impact on the city because I mentioned before there's this water supply that would come from the springs about 6 miles away or so. And by the time the water arrived to the actual city, it would become lukewarm. And so what's interesting, this water supply was tepid, and Scripture is using that spiritually folks were tepid as well. There was a lukewarmness to their faith. And it's interesting, again, how we're seeing that here, that there's a self-satisfaction that comes out of the world versus finding life in Christ. And that could lead to spiritual death as well. And when a church is lukewarm, or a person is lukewarm for that matter, we can lose our priorities on what matters and what's important. It's a warning here as well. And this is a similar rebuke that we saw earlier in the church of Ephesus, was told that their witness would be removed if they did not repent and stand for the truth. And as we think about being lukewarm, this idea of being lukewarm is actually worse in condition than being actually cold. And the Bible actually tells us that. Jesus is saying that it's not enough just to know the things of Christ and be lukewarm in that, but somehow in the midst of our journey, we can become calloused to what Jesus is saying to us. And Jesus is actually saying, from his perspective, again, it says in the Bible, it's actually better to be spiritually cold, since that means you're likely to notice the calling of God versus being lukewarm. And in a spiritual sense, lukewarmness is almost a sense of indifference or compromise, and we don't necessarily see it happening because it's lukewarm. It kind of feels okay, but not really. And if we play and stay in the middle, we're either too hot or too cold. And we got to understand that we have to make a decision. We can't be in the middle. We can't be lukewarm, and understand that we know that water heals and it brings life as well. And one Bible commentary says this about this particular context. He says, hot water heals, cold water refreshes, but lukewarm water is useless for either purpose. It was as if Jesus said, you were hot or cold, I could do something with you. And we see that here in the Bible. See, the lukewarm Christian has enough to satisfy their craving for religion, but not necessarily enough to have a relationship with Christ. And perhaps, where do they stand eternally as well? And that's one of the dangers of being lukewarm. And when we think about that as a church or individually, you know, think about our faith and where we're at. Are we lukewarm? Are we hot for Christ or cold for Christ? Where are we at? Spurgeon says this about a lukewarm church. There's a few things to consider. And this is what he says. When more attend the meetings, they are still very dull, for they do their praying very deliberately and are afraid of being too excited. They are content to have all things done decently in an order, but vigor and zeal are considered to be vulgar. They have deacons and elders who are excellent pillars of the church. If the chief quality of pillars is to be stand still and exhibit no emotion or emotion. The pastor does not fly very far in preaching the everlasting gospel, and he certainly has no flame of fire in his preaching. Everything is done half-heartedly, listless, dead, and alive way, as if it did not matter much whether it was done or not. Things are respectfully done. The rich families are not offended. The skeptical parties is conciliated. And the good people are not quite alienated. And things are made pleasant all around. The right things are done, but as to doing them, with all your might and soul and strength, this church has no notion of what it means to be alive. And so those are hard words to think about when you consider it. And to get this image of Jesus spitting you out of your mouth, that's an interesting thing to consider, isn't it, when we think about that? And when we think about this, Jesus indicating that he would spit us out of his mouth, he's essentially saying, and he's saying this to this church here, that I have no use for you. I have no role for you unless you repent. And these are powerful words, this idea of spitting out. James was up here this morning. He's our host for a service this morning. His family and them went on vacation recently. They're in Mexico. And they went on an excursion for doing some snorkeling to look at some sea turtles. And they went snorkeling and went to the beach, and they're entering the water. And if you know about masks, when you go snorkeling or mask in general, you need to have a watertight seal. So if you have any facial hair or anything like that, that watertight seal can be compromised a little bit. So they went swimming, and they're having a good time, but James ended up swallowing a bunch of the salt water, and it got into his mouth. And it's not a great taste, and he spit it out, and that's what he did. And that's our natural reaction. He spit it out. That's what we would do as well. Think about when you've had to have a sore throat, perhaps, and what are you told to do often? Get a glass of water, put some salt in it, and gargle. And if you swallow any of it, your automatic response is to do what? It's to spit it out. And that's what we're getting here. Jesus is essentially saying to us how we as the church are in his mouth, and he will spit us out, that we are called to spread the word. And if we're mediocre and we're passive in our Christianity, and the church has no enthusiasm, no passion, no compassion, or any sense of urgency, this can be a terrible thing, because it's such a subtle thing. And if we're not careful, we can go about our whole life being lukewarm and thinking we're actually doing something for the kingdom and making a difference. So Jesus would rather have us hot or cold, but not in the middle. And that's what he's saying to the church here. That's what he's saying for us here today as well. So we have to make that decision and decide, what are we going to do? Verse 17 says this, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Great words, right? Very encouraging. You know, those are definitely hard words. You are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. These folks in Laodicea were self-sufficient. They thought they had everything they needed because they had material wealth. And they didn't think they needed anything spiritually because they had all their material needs taken care of them. You know, they had these things taken care of them. Their physical needs were met. But the Bible tells us that they were spiritually poor, that they were missing something very, very important. It's inferred here that their physical comfort and the worldly reward they were seeking was almost putting them in danger and the risk of missing out the things of God. And how often in our lives do we get focused on the things that are help us being prosperous materially? And often we'll say, well, we're doing well because we have these material possessions. We might have a lot of money in our church account or in our personal accounts. But that doesn't mean that we're on the right track. And that's what's a warning here as well, that, you know, just because wealth, we have material possession, doesn't mean that we are rich spiritually. Now, I'm sure there are many people in this church that contributed generously to its offerings and give abundantly. And that's good to be giving. And yet there's a warning here that we can give all we want physically and even materially. However, we cannot be spiritually bankrupt. And that's what we have to be warned about as well, that we make sure that we are not spiritually bankrupt, because all we need is Christ. And sometimes our things, our material wealth, the things that we have in our life, as a warning to this church there, it can actually cause us spiritual blindness. It can cause us not to see what's in front of us. And this reality that when we are spiritually blind, we cannot see what God is doing. We cannot walk in light because we're walking in darkness. And our spiritual viewpoint, our perspective, is clouded because we're so reliant on the things of this world and our material possessions. And sometimes we look at the zeros in our bank account or the numbers in our bank account or whatever else it might be, and that brings us more satisfaction than Jesus himself. So it's a warning for this church. It's a warning for us as well, that we would not be spiritually bankrupt, that we would not focus on the things that are material, but we would focus on Jesus. And I understand it's not easy to do that. It's hard at times because we get so caught up on our stuff. And we all are on that journey. And yet, if someone was to take all our stuff away and we just had Jesus, how would we respond? Have you noticed when someone passes away, there's never a U-Haul at the funeral? Because you can't take anything with us. So the consideration is, what are we investing in terms of the time we have on this earth? Because the greatest return we're going to get is the investment in the kingdom. Verse 18 says this, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. So Jesus is advising this church to buy pure gold from him. This idea of being refined like fire, like gold, comes from the fire of testing to develop who we are in Christ. Now, this transaction of buying gold isn't a monetary transaction. It's a spiritual transaction in exchange for what? A quality of life with Jesus, and to allow him to lead us. And when we buy our gold, our riches from Jesus, it's a beautiful thing because it's coming directly from him, and he refines us. And he changes us from the inside out. It's a lifelong journey. It's called sanctification. It happens every single day of our lives if we're open to that. The Apostle Peter described it like this in 1 Peter. It says this, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It's amazing when you think about that, being refined like fire to become more like Jesus. He also offers white garments. Now, Laodicea was popular and famous for glossy black wool. That's what they used to make beautiful garments. And Jesus is saying here, with these garments, these white garments, you will be clothed. And he goes on to say to anoint your eyes with eye salve. They would be able then to see. And Jesus is saying here that This eye salve will allow us to see spiritually as well. And it clears up our eyes when we are seeking Jesus spiritually. My son, Joah, just his eyes were hurting the last couple of days. And we had to put drops in his eyes. And that's a fun experience for a 12-year-old. And he's lying down on the couch, and we're putting the drops in his eyes, and it's actually helping his eyes so he could see clearer. And he's doing much better now. But it's a great example for us to understand that when we are allowing our eyes to be open spiritually, we are going to be able to see what Jesus is doing. Now, this town, this church of Laodicea, they actually had this temple I mentioned earlier. There were occultist doctors that were part of this community, and they would actually use this powder that they put on their eyes to help people heal. And we share that this morning because what Jesus is saying, that this powder that these people were going to these false idols, to these churches, these temples, to get healed by this particular eye powder is useless because you are still spiritually blind. And he is saying that we need to acquire the spiritual knowledge of who Jesus is so our spiritual condition can be changed, because Jesus opens our eyes to the truth of the gospel. And if our eyes are blind or closed, we're not going to see the spiritual truth of who he is. Imagine just closing your eyes for a second and opening them and realizing how much we need Christ. And sometimes for us, our eyes are closed spiritually. Our hearts are closed. We're not open. And we're walking around with our eyes just dimmed and barely seeing how Jesus is leading us. So are your eyes open this morning? Do you know of your spiritual condition? Do we know how Christ is leading you? Because when our eyes are wide open, we can see the things that Jesus is doing. Verse 19 says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent." Again, a constant theme we've seen in these seven churches is this word repent. That there has to be this heart change from turning from just being lethargic in our faith to restore our relationship with God. Again, in spite of being wretched and pitiful and poor and blind in a naked condition, we can still have Christ. The Greek actually indicates in this particular part about repentance is this idea that do not delay. Come to grips immediately, because we just don't know what's going to happen or when things will happen. Now, just over a week ago, the solar eclipse came. And I mentioned it last week, and many were thinking this is the day that the Lord will come. And many were waiting, and he didn't come. Because the Bible tells us he will come like a thief in the night. But we are called in Scripture, do not delay in our repentance. Do you see how those things go together? If we delay in our repentance, and Jesus comes like a thief in the night, are we going to be ready? Now, Jesus still loves this church. He loves the people. But he's essentially saying also that we cannot just follow Christ as a hobby or a recreational activity or it's because something we just do in our weekly day-to-day life, but it's something we need to be committed to and follow with openness, with this idea that we do not delay, that we would follow Christ with all of our hearts. Verse 20 says this, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." So this verse pictures Jesus standing outside of this church and knocking at the door, waiting to be welcomed and admitted into the church. Have you ever been in a situation where you're knocking on the door and you're knocking and you're knocking and knocking and no one's answering the door for you? And you keep waiting. Is somebody home? Is someone going to open the door? You don't force the door open. Let's hope not, at least. And you wait and you wait. And that's what Jesus is saying here as well. See, he's not going to kick the door down. He could. He'd probably just walk through it. He could, but he chooses not to. He stands at the door and he's knocking and he's knocking. And sadly, when he's knocking, the door is not being opened. So when we think about that, we think about the church, we think about ourselves, and when Jesus is knocking at the door and he's just continuing to knock and we exclude him and allowing him to enter, The question we have to ask ourselves is, you know, why did he knock? And as I mentioned before, he does that till someone opens up the door. You know, how wide open are you? We must open up the door through repentance and through this idea of giving up our pride and our self-sufficiency. This speaks of fellowship. This speaks of deep relationship with Jesus. Now, it's interesting. Jesus, in the earlier voices, is saying that he disciplines the church and we are naked and pitiful and poor, and yet he is saying to that church and to us this morning that he still loves us. He wants to have fellowship with us. You know, many people look at these verses, and these verses actually speak to the church. This is, you can use, many have used this verse to reach people for the gospel, but this in context is for the church. To knock and let me in. He's saying, I want to have fellowship with you. He talks about dining with us, and this idea of dining with us, this idea, it means that this is about the main focus of the day, of the day is that meal. This meal is the main focus. It's the main focus of the day, the spiritual dining with Jesus, that he's calling us to do that. He's appealing to Christ's followers and saying that I want to have an intimate and a prolonged fellowship with you. Is he knocking on your heart today? Has he been knocking for years in parts of our lives? And we continue to look through the peephole maybe, because we do that when we have peepholes. And maybe we look through the peephole and what do we see? Oh, there's Jesus. And we don't want to open the door because we know he's knocking. And we're like, no, I'm just not ready for it. Is he knocking? Is he knocking on your heart this morning and saying, open the door, repent. Let us have fellowship together. We cannot be lukewarm. We cannot be apathetic. And we have to understand that. And it's a powerful picture, isn't it? What do you think about Jesus knocking? You know, I talked last week how Jesus is the door. And he's knocking now. These visuals are so important for us to understand. And I hope you understand that this morning. And a promise of reward, verse 21 says this, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. A throne is a seat of authority, and God has the throne because he is the ultimate authority. And we know that. The Bible tells us that. He tells us, and the Bible tells us, that he promises those who have a repentant heart that we have the honor to sit with him and with Jesus. And Jesus mentions what? That he sat down with the Father on his throne. He sits at the right hand of the Father. Now, there are two thrones in this verse. There's my throne and his throne. There's the throne of Jesus, and then there's the throne of the Father. The throne of the Father is sovereign, ruler of the universe, and Jesus plays a part of that as well. And there's nothing that is not under his control. So when you think about your life this morning and you think about what's going on, know full well that God is sovereign. And when Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high with his Father, at his right hand, the Bible tells us that. So picture, what a beautiful picture that is. Two thrones, and God the Father and Jesus the Son. And the Holy Spirit being a part of it as well. It's amazing, isn't it? When you think about that. The throne. Such power, such majesty, such beauty. And that is the God we serve. Verse 22 says this, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now we've heard this theme over and over and over again. And Jesus is saying, and he's closing this letter by saying to people, you must open your ears. We must be listening to what we are being taught in the scriptures. And so as he appeals to the churches, that's been a constant theme. How well are we doing that? How well are we listening to what God is saying? How well are we putting these things into action as well? And it's something to consider this morning. And it's something we've seen throughout everything we've taught in the seven churches. That repent and listening together. They go hand in hand. We've got some questions on the screen as well. Just something to reflect on this morning. You know, how is a Christian or a church to move out of an apathetic or lukewarm state according to Jesus? So what do we do individually to get out of this lukewarm state? What do we do as a church to perhaps get out of the lukewarm state? How do we do that together? Hope these questions are reflective and open dialogue as well. And then what does it mean or to look like for Jesus to come and sit down and have a meal with those who hear his voice? What does that look like for us? To have this intimate meal with Jesus, to dine with him spiritually. When was the last time you sat at the table with Christ and allowed him to do that with you? Fellowship, he wants to have fellowship with him. It's a beautiful picture of that as well. And then there's a couple more questions as well. In what ways have you been lukewarm like the church we looked at today? You know, again, that's self-reflection for all of us. And then what things can we do to be hot in our love for God instead of being lukewarm? Those, again, individually, collectively as a church as well. What can we do? And the hope and the prayer, again, is that we would look at these things and be able to put them into action in our lives as well and to recognize that we need to take heed what is being said here. I know as we've gone through these seven churches, it's been hard to a certain degree. I'm the first one to admit that. Heavy teaching. And there's been some really good things in here as well. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you are challenged. I hope you've been able to reflect on what we've learned together. And again, if you haven't heard all the messages, I do encourage you to go back as we continue to learn together as well. Now, as we wrap this up this morning, the worship team will come up in a minute. And as we've come today, and this idea of being the church and doing these things, I'm going to segue into something very different right now. I think it's important for me to say something about this. And it ties into a little bit what we've been learning as well. In February, we had an AGM here at the church. And if you weren't at the AGM and you're new at the church or you're visiting or watching online, I hope what you hear now will encourage you. So we had an AGM, which is an annual general meeting. And we gather and we talk about the business of the church. And not all of you there, I understand that. But I just want to share something this morning. There was a conversation that was taking place, and I joined into the conversation. And it wasn't the best platform for me to do this, but here's what happened. And I stood up here, and I made a very blanket statement, and I said that we as a family don't feel welcomed here at this church. And I said that, and I said a blanket statement, which I shouldn't have said. Many of you tried to make us feel welcome in this community, and we feel that, and we appreciate that, and we're grateful for that. And I want to say thank you for that. I also mentioned that I talked about gossip, how we feel we've been talked about. And I made another blanket statement about that because not everybody is doing that. As a matter of fact, I hope nobody's doing that, not just about us, but each other. I fully understand that I said those things, but I also said something else that I will stand by. I said that if you have an issue with me or anyone else, that you would talk to them directly, including myself. I will stand by that because Matthew 18 tells us that. But here's what I want to say. In light of what happened that evening, or that morning, I should say, after service, I want to apologize. I want to ask you for your forgiveness. I want to ask you to show me grace because that was not my best moment. I perhaps could use a better platform. Not perhaps, I should have used a better platform. And I'm sharing this because I think it's very important. And again, if you're visiting, I hope you're encouraged by this to a certain degree. I take these things seriously. I'm a slow learner. But I want to lead by example as best as I can. I'm not perfect in any of this. I'm the first one to look in the mirror and own what I have to own. Sometimes it takes me longer. But I share that as your pastor. And I don't want you to have heavy hearts, or and if you need to talk about this with me, you can. But I share that with you because I think it's just important for me to say something this morning. And so having said that, I want to wrap up with some scripture, and then the worship team will come, and we'll wrap up with one song. So again, as I offer my forgiveness, I am sorry. I apologize. My heart is for the kingdom. And I want to walk with each one of you to build his church. So Philippians 2 says this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Amen. Worship team, come on up.
Thank you, Pastor Mesh. Let's stand together this morning as we close our service. Here's verses from Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Like snow. snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are.
Father, we thank you for this time where we could learn about our need to repent and learn to forgive and learn to forget. We ask your Spirit's role in that to help us. We thank you that you are helping us. In Jesus' name, pray God would bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you this day and all your days. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.